And our next guest is a research professor at the University of Colorado Boulder at the Locomotion Laboratory, and has been graduated from there in 2007, and had postdoctoral fellowship work at MIT in 2011. Her name is Dr. Alina Grabowski. She also has a local connection here in Cook County. She's her folks are Kathy and Ed Bolstead. And she also has a big, strong connection to what a lot of us have been watching over this last week or better, and that's the Olympics, as Oscar Pistorius is going to be setting the first. Actually, I think he is the first person who, a handicapped person, to compete in the Olympics, not the Paralympics, but the Olympics. And he's going to be in the individual men's 400-meter race with Team South Africa. He's also known as the Blade Runner. And Dr. Grabowski, we want to thank you so much for joining us here at WTIP. It must be a busy and very anxious time for you, as tomorrow will be Oscar Pistorius's first event, and that's the preliminaries of the 400-meter race.
Thanks for having me. I'm very excited as well.
Now, your work is kind of unusual because it includes so many different facets, and not only do you have to be very aware of the biomechanics and how things work with the machinery involved in designing and perfecting these prostheses, especially for athletes, but also so much that you have to know about the human body and how that works. I'm pretty amazed at what you and other folks in that study do. Can you expound on that a little bit? How you got interested in this, and how much study is involved to reach the point where you can understand these things?
Yeah, in my PhD work, I did a lot of basic biomechanics, so trying to understand how a person moves and how much energy it costs them to move. And so by looking at someone with intact limbs, with biological ankles, let's say, I can understand how that works. Then there's hope to understand how a prosthesis might work and potentially how a prosthesis might work better. In Oscar's case, I was fortunate to be doing a postdoc out at MIT, and basically he had a research team over in Germany do some testing on him, and they had a conclusion that was a little strange, I guess, that he had some sort of unfair advantage. And so we looked at their results and decided that we should probably put together a team of scientists here in the States and try to understand if what the German team was saying is actually really true. And what we found was that it actually wasn't. We measured Oscar in the lab. We had him run on a special treadmill that measures the force that he exerts on the ground and tried to understand his biomechanics. And then we also measured how much energy it took him to run. And so we measured his energetics. His energetics were equivalent, but his biomechanics were quite different due to those devices that he has.
Hmm. Yeah, we've been hearing a lot about that as it gets closer to the event, that perhaps, I think there was even a poll out to ask the common, you know, the common citizen who's just watching what they think about an advantage or no advantage. Do you feel that measuring the energy output should put that to rest?
It should, but because his biomechanics are quite different, then it becomes a bit more of a puzzle. I think people are also potentially intimidated by how these prostheses look. They don't look anything like a biological ankle. They look like sort of J-shaped carbon fiber blades. And so when people don't, you know, that doesn't register for them, I think they can be very intimidated by that. But the research we've done has actually shown that his biomechanics seem to also indicate that he doesn't have any sort of advantage. And if anything, maybe he has a disadvantage. So trying to understand that more is kind of the goal of the future. But at this point, I'd say he absolutely doesn't have an advantage. And if anything, he has a disadvantage.
Yes, for those listeners who haven't seen Oscar Pistorius running in that event, or excuse me, in those flex foot cheetahs, I believe is the name of that particular prosthesis.
Yes.
It's an unusual look, and in fact, as I look at him, a still picture of him running, it's hard to imagine even standing on those things.
Yeah, they're not very stable, and if anything, if he tries to stand still, he really can't. He just sort of bounces. But they're springs. I mean, that's what they're designed to do. They're designed to be very spring-like. So they don't have any sort of motor or actuation of any sort, but they're simple springs, and they're attached to a socket that fits around the residual limb that Oscar has on both sides.
Alina, you're a runner yourself, I believe, a marathoner, ultra-marathoner?
Yes.
How much has that helped you in understanding how to work with these devices?
Yeah, it's helped me to kind of understand, well, sprinting specifically versus distance running. So distance running, we do run a lot like springs. We bounce along the ground for miles on end, depending on how far of a distance you're going. And we usually use aerobic energy. So we metabolize energy that utilizes oxygen. In sprinting, it's much more of a power sport. So, sprinting performance depends on how much force you can exert on the ground. So that's why we measured forces with Oscar. And how much power you can generate. And depending on the length of that sprint, you use aerobic energy and anaerobic energy. And so, it definitely changes as you move faster. I can't say that I'm a sprinter. I've tried, but I don't move that fast. So,
as I think about our ankles and our feet and the role they play in us standing upright and moving around, they're so complex.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine these prostheses being able to cover all those bases, to be able to spread that energy out like our ankles and feet do.
Yeah, I agree. They're very much designed to go forward, and so there's not a lot of side-to-side stability either. Things that we haven't looked at are running around curves, for instance, and so that takes a lot of not only forward motion, but a little bit of side-to-side motion, and no one really understands yet how these prostheses affect curved running. Also, the acceleration phase, when you start in the blocks, it's pretty hard to get much back from those prostheses. So Oscar will usually really struggle initially.
To get a start.
And then he gets up to speed, and then he does pretty good.
And, of course, he has to run on a curve. It's in on an oval.
Right, yeah, it's 400 meters, so all the way around the track.
Yeah. I'm just amazed, but there are other prostheses that you work on besides Oscar's that do different functions for folks.
Yeah, definitely. I had the fortunate opportunity to work with a company called iWalk is designing a new prosthesis mainly for walking at this point that has power. It's got a battery attached to it, and it drives a motor, so it is much more like a biological ankle with muscles. Instead of muscles, it's got a motor on it and battery power, and that seems to be improving gait for amputees tremendously. So I'm really excited to keep working on that project too.
One thing that I think about when I look at these things is, of course, the people using them have had to have their foot, ankle, depending on how far up, amputated, and they're left with a part that wasn't designed to have pressure on it.
Correct.
So how do you attach these prostheses without damaging that exposed lower portion of where they've had to be operated on? And also, if you clamp it above there, how do you avoid cutting off the blood supply?
Right, yeah, there's sort of an art to being what's called a prosthetist, or someone that fits someone with a prosthesis. And they design a socket that fits around that residual limb, whatever's left over. And they design that socket pretty specifically to try to do what you just said. Don't cut off blood supply. Don't get in the way, but attach on. If you think about how fast Oscar's limbs are going, the fact that socket stays on his residual limb is pretty remarkable at times.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an art and a skill to be able to fit a socket really well around the residual limb.
Are there injuries that seem to be common with people using these prostheses in such an athletic way?
Yeah, I would say the injury rate, from what I've looked at in the literature, is much higher in people that are using prostheses because they're usually compensating for something. And so the injuries, for sprinters anyways, are mainly hamstring injuries. So muscles and ligaments and tendons that are around the hip are really going to be affected by, you know, the prosthesis and having to accommodate for that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also had the opportunity to work with Hugh Herr. Am I pronouncing his last name correctly?
Yeah, Hugh Herr.
Hugh Herr at MIT, and as I read a little bit about him, he's also a double amputee, but he's a rock climber.
That's right.
That's amazing just in itself.
Yeah, he's an amazing man, and he's really, he had a climbing accident, I think when he was about 17, and lost both legs below the knee, and sort of used that as impetus to design better prostheses, and he started designing climbing prostheses, and then just has sort of gone on from there, and he's sort of the mind behind that iWalk foot that I was talking about before, that powered prosthesis. So he's used his injury to really motivate a whole line of research and improving prosthetic devices and assistive devices in general.
I won't climb up a steep rock even with two good limbs. You know, it takes a lot of confidence to do it with a prosthesis.
Yes, well, and he was accused in his day of having an unfair advantage because he'd build prostheses that were just specific for whatever climb he was going to do. So maybe they had a shorter foot or a longer leg or, you know, a different claw on the foot itself. So, yeah, he's had quite a bit of experience with that. Hmm.
I mentioned this earlier in the day as we were previewing the show, but I'll say it again. It's hard to imagine somebody who has become an amputee having an advantage over somebody who hasn't. You know, it just goes against my thought pattern. There has to be such a huge adjustment to suddenly be using a prosthesis from what you naturally were given.
I agree.
Yeah, and it's a complex body that we have, especially in those parts.
Mm-hmm, most definitely.
So it's just amazing to me that all the thought that you have to put behind helping devise these things to really replace things that are so complicated.
That's true, yes.
I went to your website and took a look at some videos of other equipment that you work on. Mm-hmm. Can you tell folks a little bit about them and you know, what something like a G-train is and the reduced gravity walking device and what they're used for?
Sure. Yeah, there's a company out in the San Francisco area that's designed, it's like a tent that fits over a treadmill, which, again, you have to use your imagination a little bit. And the tent attaches to the person through sort of a kayak skirt. So if you can imagine wearing a kayak skirt and then zipping that into a tent that fits around a treadmill, you've got a good imagination, and hopefully you'll go to the website and look at it. But in any case, that tent then pressurizes, and the air pressure actually reduces gravity. And so it actually reduces the amount of weight that you bear on your legs as you're walking or running on the treadmill. And so the idea behind this device is that it would be really useful for rehab. So if you, say, blow out your knee and you have an ACL surgery and you need to not put as much weight on that leg, you can do that with this device, and so you can maybe rehab a little bit faster because you're not putting as much weight on that on that leg, but you're able to continue walking or running or training. And so that device has actually been used by some Olympians in the past to rehab, usually from stress fractures, again, where you're trying to reduce the weight on that limb. So that's one of the fun projects that I've had an opportunity to work on. Another fun project that's a little bit otherworldly, too, that I worked on at MIT is an exoskeleton. I don't know if you saw the video of that or not.
Maybe you could explain to folks what an exoskeleton means. What is that?
Yeah, so the basic idea is that it's something that attaches onto your body, but it's external to your body. So a prosthesis is sort of in line with your body, and this is something that would attach onto someone that is fully able-bodied. And it's designed to assist that person in walking or running or, in this case, hopping. And so when you hop, you bounce, much like a spring. So the idea with this exoskeleton is that I would attach a spring that encompasses the whole length of your leg, and you'd rely on that spring instead of your leg to bounce up and down. So that's the idea with this exoskeleton, and the exoskeleton itself is made of carbon fiber. similar to what Oscar's using in his prostheses. And so we're trying to understand if we could, you know, make some device that could attach onto you, say, when you're running, and make the cost, the metabolic cost of running less. So it wouldn't be as hard to run. You might be able to go bounce down the street to the local store using an exoskeleton rather than, say, a bicycle or something.
Can you call me as soon as you get that figured out?
You'll be on the hotline, yes.
Anne's ready. She's ready for one, too, our co-host.
Well, I'm getting a great picture of, like, those old, you know, you see them in cartoons, the shoes with springs on the bottom.
Exactly, yeah. So instead of those springs on the bottom, they're on the side of your leg. But it's the same idea. Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, are these things that the company has come up with and you're assisting them with them, or are these things that you and the other researchers have come up with?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
So the G-trainer that I described, that tent that goes over the treadmill, that's designed by a company, and then we tested that. The exoskeleton is sort of an idea that I've come up with, and I collaborated with Hugh Herta to sort of figure out and then test itself. So that one wasn't any other company, just our own little brain power trying to figure out what happens when you attach a spring onto the leg. So I think it's a combination of both. The prostheses that Oscar uses are designed by a company called Oser, and that particular model has been around for about 15 years or so. So not a lot of technological advances yet with sprint-specific prostheses.
Mm-hmm. I think there was another, maybe you already covered this, but the Powerfoot prostheses, didn't I see something like that on there too?
Yep, and that's made by a company called iWalk. That was the prosthesis that I was describing a little bit earlier that has power.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a mechanical one that had a little engine, you said, or a little motor?
Yeah, it's got a motor in there and a few springs, and then it's got a bunch of sensors that are quite smart. And so those sensors allow the ankle to basically get smart and understand how much power a person needs, and then that's operated through a battery.
For those of you who are just tuning in, we're speaking with Dr. Elena Grabowski, and she's a research professor at the University of Colorado in Boulder at their Locomotion Laboratory. She's been involved in studying Oscar Pistorius, who's also known as the Blade Runner, and helping him with the design of that prosthesis, which he uses in that 400-meter race, which, by the way, is happening tomorrow morning, Elena. What do you think his chances are? I know his time wouldn't indicate he could win a medal, but it's the Olympics.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think his times that he's posted in the past are competitive, but not quite that competitive. So we're hoping that he makes the semifinals. That's sort of the bigger goal, and
now,
then we'll see how far he gets.
Now, he also has an opportunity in the relay race as a member of South Africa's team.
That's right.
Is that a little better chance for him?
I think so, yeah. I think South Africa has a good chance at a medal there, so we'll just have to wait and see. And I think that's aired next Thursday, so be anxiously awaiting to see how he does.
Just so folks understand, he's kind of dominated the Olympics. Is it the Paralympics?
Yes, the Paralympics.
For people that have handicaps for some years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really a major jump to for anybody else except Oscar to even think about making. Yet his ability shows that he can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's quite an exceptional athlete.
Yeah. Have there been things done on studying what kind of a athletic capacity he has?
Yeah, definitely. I think, that's some of the studies I was describing earlier where we were comparing him to other 400-meter athletes that were able-bodied and trying to understand the differences between him and them. I've also had the opportunity to work with some Paralympic athletes that are unilateral amputees, so that means that just one leg is amputated. And so that subject population, from a research standpoint, is really interesting because we can compare their biological leg to the leg that's using the running-specific prosthesis and try to understand the different mechanics going on within the same person.
Mm-hmm. Does that lead to other problems in their body when one part of their, half of their body, let's say the right leg and everything aligned with it, is operating at a different point than what's happening on their left side?
Yeah, most definitely. A lot of people with a unilateral amputation suffer from back injuries, or they'll have arthritis except on their intact limb because it's compensating for the lack of energy that's generated from the prosthesis.
Hmm. We've been speaking with Dr. Alina Grabowski, and she is talking to us from University of Colorado in Boulder, where she's a research scientist there. Also, there's going to be renewed interest or heightened interest for Ann and I in watching that race, the preliminaries, and hopefully beyond that with Oscar Pistorius in the 400-meter race. He's known as the Blade Runner. And we've gotten quite a bit more information from Alina tonight, and it's just great to have you on the program, and a good opportunity for you to say hi to your folks here.
Hey, Mom.
I'm sure they're tuning in, and we hope that when you next come, and I'm assuming that you do get to Cook County at points of time.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
That maybe you'll step in and go for a little run.
Hey, that sounds
wonderful.
You know,
I'm also an ultra marathon. I love to trail run, so it'd be an honor for me.
And an honor
take
for me,
a little,
too.
Take a little jog with you. I want to thank you so much for giving up your time here on a Friday night, and best wishes, and I hope Oscar just shines tomorrow.
Thank you so much. I hope he does, too.
Thank you. One more thing. I almost forgot. Can you give folks your website where they can take a look at the different devices that you've been working on?
Sure. It's media.mit.edu/Alina G.
Great. If people aren't able to write that down fast enough, is there something they could Google to?
Sure. If they Google my name, my full name, it should come up there as well. Or if they go to MIT in the biomechatronics group.
Sure. Well, thank you so much again, Alina, and I hope to talk to you again.
Thanks so much.